Well, greetings, New Hope Church. It's so great to be with you on this second day of, well, is it the first, second day of January? You know what? Today is it's the coldest day of the year right now. Did you know that? Coldest day of the year. Happy New Year to all of you. It's great to be together. Those of you who are part of our online community, welcome. It's so great to connect with you. Welcome to New Hope Church right here in the outer rings of the Minneapolis area. And for those of you who are right here on our campus, it's just a delight to be able to be present with you in this space. And just so thankful that you're here. Thank you for braving the New Year's doldrums and just the sleepiness that comes from being up late. And thank you for braving the cold weather to join us. My name is Matthew. I'm one of the pastors here. And I've got with me a couple of friends that I just love and respect so much. Camelia Walls is right here, and Jennifer Suga. And together we're going to present the scriptures today. And I'm just delighted to be able to do that with you ladies. Have you guys had a good Christmas and a good start to the new year? I know it's early, so there you go.
yeah, I've had a fun time with my family and playing games and watching movies, just enjoying break and time together.
Chilling out with family, right? Yeah, that's good. We've done that.
Yeah, Jennifer? I've also had a wonderful time with family and friends and just enjoying some time off from work and resting, recharging, refocusing for the new year.
Yeah. Krista and I, we've done the same thing. We've watched a lot of movies, eaten way too much food, enjoyed time with our daughter who's in from college and all this. It's been so sweet. It's been great. And I'm kind of stunned that here we are already now in January and we're all ready to go, right? So here we go. Listen, I want to open in a word of prayer and let me ask you to join me. We're going to just dive right in. Father, thank you so much for the joy it is to gather together in the name of Jesus, to be part of what you are doing, to be part of your church family. And I ask in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would have his way here as we have just been singing, that the Holy Spirit would have his way with all of us that are listening to my voice right now. Meet us in a very determined and intentional and tender and powerful way, and show us more of your heart and help us to enter into it fully and carry us along through your power, O God of heaven. We know it pleases you when we gather, and so here we are and we welcome you. Help us, because of our time together, to know, love, and live more for Jesus. Make it so. And all of God's people said together, amen. Amen. All right. So, friends, one of the great features of life is when friends and family and strangers and even enemies gather at a table and dine together, play together, and so forth. And yes, I did say enemies. Remember what King David writes in Psalm 23 and the famous song that he pens. He says, Lord, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And so it's clearly within the heart of God that all peoples have a spot at a table, even those with whom we might have some issues or disagreements, even those enemies. And so wow, that says something about God's magnanimous heart for people. And there's nothing like a table that brings people together. A table is a centering kind of place to bring folks together. And so when these friends and family and strangers and even enemies come together at a table, oh, there's laughter. You eat, you drink, you pray, you lament, you dream, you play, you argue, you have intense conversations, you have joyful interaction. And it runs the whole gambit. And what I want to acknowledge too is this is part of the reality of just the human condition. We are built to come together and to enjoy one another around the table. God's delight is that we would do that. And also, it's a worldwide phenomenon. It's something we see all over the globe. I've had a chance to be all over the world. And whether I am sitting cross-legged on the floor in a home eating couscous and drinking tea in North Africa, or I'm at a pub in Czech Republic, or I'm at a formal dining room in Hong Kong, or sitting around a fire in Sudan, not with a table, but with a little tray that has coffee, little coffee cups on it, drinking coffee with Sudanese pastors and elders, the laughter, the fellowship, the tears, the joy, the dreams that are shared, the vision that is processed, the things that are remembered, all of this is just part of the global human experience. And it's crazy that a table is a centerpiece for all of that. It's a remarkable thing. And what I want you to know is that for these next weeks, right here on our platform, Lord willing, we're going to be seated at a table, just like Camelia and Jennifer and I are right now. And each week, we're gonna have different friends up here. And part of what we wanna do is allow the optics of this table and of a few of us friends gathered to say something about the heart of God for bringing people together. And this is so important. There's so much import right now. I'm about to knock the mic off, aren't I? There's so much import for this season in which we find ourselves, because right now, I don't know about you, but as we continue to claw our way out of COVID, we are so hungry for some equilibrium, so hungry for centering, and we are crawling our way out, and it is hard crawling, and it seems like we start and sputter, and so we think, oh, maybe now we're seeing some daylight in this COVID thing, and then the next thing we know, there's a whole new a volume of people that are struggling with it and getting sick and whatnot. And so, you know, this equilibrium, this disorientation that we have is so real, and it's understandable, but what it is doing is it is reminding us, along with a host of other things, how valuable, how important it is for us to pursue relational joy, stability, and fulfillment that can come when we strive to just be together. Now, from this table, in these next weeks, we're going to explore what God has to say in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And so, Camelia, actually, I want to ask, would you read for us Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Now, this is the word of God. Let me invite all of us to listen carefully.
Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as those in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Camelia. Friends, this is God's word. And you know what? It is wisdom. It is God's wisdom for you and for me. It's wisdom about things like financial generosity, care for those who are oppressed, sexual and marital well-being, and the intentional human connection and hospitality that ought to define sisters and brothers in Christ. This is wisdom for those things. And we're going to be talking about these, Lord willing, in these days to come. These are the kind of things that people talk about at tables. When they come together at a kitchen table or a dining room table, when you gather at a restaurant or a pub or something of that effect, and you just sit together, what are the common things we talk about? We talk about money, we talk about relationships, we talk about those people, whomever they might be, and we're processing what it might be as Christians to leverage gospel truth around all of these things. today, Lord willing, as we proceed here in the next little while, we want to talk about the issue of intentional relational investment and hospitality, which really focuses on the first couple verses that Camellia just read. So actually, Camellia, let me ask you to read those two again, verses 1 and 2.
Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Amen. Now, simply put, verse 1 emphasizes the high value that we who follow Christ, now I want you to hear me, it emphasizes the high value that we who follow Christ must put with regard to relational intentionality, friendly investment of love toward God's family. That's what verse 1 is calling us to be about. The language of let brotherly love continue, is the language of pressing on. It is the language of going forward, the language of progressing. And that phrase, brotherly love, it is the word in the Greek language, it's the word Philadelphia, right? We have a city in the United States, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I have a friend of mine, he's in heaven now, Dr. Howard Hendricks, he's from that area. And you know, Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. That's what Philadelphia means. And he would say, oh no, not that city. It's the city of brotherly shove, because they tended to be, you know, a bit ornery with each other. But the heart of God is familial love toward one another, and a love that presses on, a love that progresses, a love that keeps going. Literally, to pick up the language there in verse 1, a love that remains or abides and keeps at it. Now, this has huge implications for us. And as I said, implications that are relevant to the COVID world in which we find ourselves, which has turned everything upside down, understandably. There's no question about it. We find ourselves disoriented, as I said a few minutes ago. We're a bit guarded. We're understandably hesitant. We're trying to decide where we stand with the people around us, how we engage. Do we hold back? Do we do fist bumps? Is a hug okay? Mask or no mask? I mean, this is the world we find ourselves in. There's no question about it. Friends, I want you to hear me. When we look at verse 1 and we read this heart of God, which is that there is this familial, intentional love for one another, a love that presses on, that doesn't give up, that keeps on going. When we read of this and we apply it to the world in which we find ourselves, we're reminded that right now is a tremendous opportunity, even with the challenges, for us as Christians to step back into the rhythms of the family of God and of the things of God. We need to be a people doing this, stepping back in to the rhythms of fellowship, community, and connection. It matters. It's really, really important for us. The love spoken of here, in the passage that Camellia read, the love spoken of here speaks to a cherishing, a treasuring of one another. And the controlling verb there, let brotherly love continue, the controlling verb that we see there, it speaks to pressing on with that treasuring, cherishing familial love. And the call here is to be engaged, to be proactive, to come together, to join one another in love, pressing on together. Now, I could spend the rest of the afternoon unpacking that. And there are so many passages of Scripture that we could go to that reinforce that. And we'll see a few more here in a few minutes. But what I want to do right now is share with you the ways at New Hope Church that we can walk this out practically. What does it look like in our church family to press on in love, a familial, brotherly, sisterly love that remains, abides, and keeps on going? Well, there are a handful of ways to step into this New Hope. One of the primary ways that we do this is through our worship experience as a church family. our worship experience as a church family. And there are a couple of expressions of this worship experience as a church family. Two expressions. One is our online community, and the other is our on-campus gathering. So our online gathering and our on-campus gathering. Now, allow me here for a few moments to speak directly to those who participate in our online community. And I want all of you to hear this. You really matter. Your participation in our online community really matters. It's so important. And what you guys may not know, friends that are gathered here on campus, is we have hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people that participate every weekend through our online gathering. And they are scattered all over the world. So I have friends in Thailand and Pakistan and India and Canada and elsewhere that are tuning in and participating in what is going on right here. And they're being fed from the Word of God, and they're being invited into an opportunity to worship Jesus authentically because Jesus is worthy. And here's the thing too that's exciting that we see happening. And you've heard me and others mention this from the platform in these recent weeks alone. Over the past few months, and certainly in these recent weeks, as we have gone through the late fall and in our Christmas season, we've had a number of people that are part of our online community that have called upon Jesus as Lord and Savior and become born again. That's great news, isn't it? I think we should give God a big applause for that. And so clearly, God is doing something. Clearly, God is at work. Hearts are being stirred. People's souls are being touched by the Spirit of God within the context of our digital environment and what's going on online. And I praise God for that. And I'm telling you, you who participate within our online gathering, you matter. You're part of this church family. And we praise God for you. And let me just tell you, it can be tempting to see your engagement there as a rather passive experience. But it is not at all. The fact is, you may be as equipped as any of us to be really aggressive in a good way with the gospel and the opportunity to have folks participate, friends and family. Because it would be so easy for you to send out a text or post a link in social media to invite your family and friends and say, hey, you gotta check this out. You ought to participate in this. The Word of God is being taught. Basic, good, biblical, expositional, exegetical preaching. Jesus is being exalted in worship. The Spirit of God is alive in this place and among these people. Come and participate. It'd be so easy for you to tell that story in a digital environment. So I want to encourage you to do that and spread the word and invite folks to join and participate because the opportunities we have are so rich. You matter, and I want you to hear that. I want all of you to hear that about our online community. Now, that said, a word of caution. A word of caution for those of you who are online. And I need you to hear this, and I need you to not read into it more than is intended. What I'm about to say is really critical, really important, really vital. Some, not all, by any means, but some who are part of our online experience, the reason you're part of it is not because of the practical accessibility and relevance and because of the understandable dynamics in our world today with regard to everything from COVID to just natural isolation realities. Part of why you're on it is because you want to withdraw from human connection. You want to step away from being engaged with others. You're willing to have a bit of Jesus without the burden or the responsibility of human engagement. And I just want to say to you, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about that. I want to invite you to talk to the Spirit of God and ask Him to show you if that happens to be you. Now, let me be clear. I know for a fact that that's not everybody's story that's part of our online community. But I also know for a fact it is a part of some of our stories. And if that is you, as your pastor, I just lovingly want to say to you, let the Holy Spirit check you on that. And then if you're sensing, yeah, you know, that's me, step out of that rhythm and step back into the kinds of fellowship that can be afforded to you online and right here on campus, somewhere with the body of Christ. Now, online, we have gathering hosts, and they are so wonderful, and they want to welcome you and help you be engaged. And there's a whole slew of others, as I've said, hundreds that are participating. The opportunities to connect are there. Don't be one of those that is engaged merely as a means to withdraw. I just want to invite you back into the fold, because that's God's heart for you. He wants you to connect because we're better together. So a word of caution there. Now, actually, with that in mind, I want to say something that I think will be really helpful here. There is in the scriptures, reflecting the heart of God, still more precise wisdom on this issue of connecting together. And Jennifer, we've been looking here at the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 13, but Hebrews chapter 10 speaks very specifically to the need for us to be together. Would you read verses 24 and 25?
And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
That is so important. Would you be willing to read it again? I think it matters that much.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Thank you. So, friends, understand the opportunity to meet together, to come together, to not give up, to press on. This is so close to the heart of God for his people. And it needs to be who we are and what we're about. And I just want to invite us to really take hold of it and not give up on it. Now, when it comes to our on-campus gathering, it matters as well. In fact, I would say to you that while our online community is so important, our on-campus gathering ultimately is the primary vehicle for us to come together as the people of God in worship. And so for those of you who are right here, those of you that make it part of your regular rhythm to be here, praise God for you too. And know that this is what we think is the best of all expressions when it comes to worshiping together as a church family. I want you to hear the beauty of being together like this is we get to listen to each other sing. We get to stand next to each other. We receive the word of God together in proximity. We receive the Holy Communion, the Lord's table in proximity together. It is what the ancient Christians called the passing of the peace. We get to do these things together as a church family. Some of us like to hug. I'm a hugger. I'm telling you straight up, I'm a hugger. Not because I'm Southern by birth, but because I'm just Matthew who likes to hug. And I'm telling you, when we're in proximity together, we have greater opportunity to figure out, are we going to fist bump, shake hands, high five, or hug, even in this environment in which we find ourselves in this day and age. Being together affords us these things. Now, I need to say something here that's very important. And that is, there is a narrative out there that when COVID began, churches shut down. Well, I'm not sure about other churches, but I want to be really clear. New Hope Church never closed its doors. We did not shut down, all right? We did not. In fact, some might make the case that the only time we've ever really closed, if I could say it that way, and even that I'm holding it loosely, was in April of 2018, when early on Sunday morning, around 6 a.m., suddenly God dumped 25 inches of snow and a blizzard upon Minneapolis. Do you guys remember that? And yes, on that day, we shut everything down. We didn't have services. We did nothing. That was before we had our online community. So we had nothing really to offer. One can make the case we closed. But let me tell you, in March of 2020, when COVID fell upon us all, we did not close. We stayed open, and we got even more robust in our engagement in the community and with our care for our families. Now, admittedly, we made a switch for several weeks to online, exclusively online. And we did that overnight. I'm telling you, it was instant. And let me just right now call out with great joy our tech team, our communications and creative folks. They made that happen. They made that happen. Friends, we made a switch, but we never closed. And for several weeks, online exclusively, and then as opportunity presented itself, we began to step back onto the campus, and we're still continuing to find our footing in that regard. The reason I bring all that up is this. Please hear me. When it comes to being on campus, one of the things that we figured out that stood out to so many of us is when we gather personally, face to face to worship, oh, that we not take it for granted. We don't take it for granted, do we? It is really important for us and for the life of our church, for our own individual lives, to just be together in worship, to hear one another sing, to feel the presence and the energy of each other, to encourage each other, to love each other in very tangible and physical expressions even. And so this is part of what our on-campus experience affords. And let me tell you, I think that's really special and it stands out and it really matters. So how do we connect at New Hope Church? The global worship experience online or on campus is the primary means by which we come together as the body of Christ and give glory to God and encourage one another, build into each other, and so forth. But that's not the only one. Worship is not the only means by which we do that. Let me just say to you, another way that we connect and we step toward being together here within the New Hope Church family quite directly is through our life groups. Through our life groups. We are a church with small groups. In fact, we're a church with a variety of group sizes. I want you to imagine with me. I want you to imagine with me the old funnel that your dad had in the garage that he used to pour gas or oil into the lawnmower or into the snowblower. You know what I'm talking about, just the old plastic funnels. Please tell me you guys know that, right? I'm seeing folks, thank you, Tony. All right, so we have one, we had one as well. And you know, at the very top, it's wide open, all right? And then it goes down this neck, kind of this neck, it gets more slender to the very bottom. At the top, that's like our worship gatherings. The big opening where we all come together. It's our worship online, on campus. It's all of us coming together. And we slide down that funnel and we come, for example, to our adult Sunday communities, our Sunday school classes. And we've got those legacy classes like King Folk and Sanctuary and a smattering of others. And then we go further down and we come maybe to our women's Bible studies, which are so great. Right? And meet such a pivotal need in the life of the women in our community. And we go a little further, and we've got a student ministry and children's ministry, and we've got men's ministry and the men's small groups, which, by the way, guys, if you're not in one, plug in. Plug in. It's really dynamic. It's so good for us. We go further, and we've got these affinity groups like Grief Share or our mental health support groups and prayer gatherings and so forth. And then we get right down to the very tip of that funnel, the smallest hole, the most intimate part, if you will, and that is our life groups. And the reason everything ultimately points down to our life groups is because our life groups are where we really, in the best way, can regularly, consistently, intentionally, and intimately live life together with friends, with sisters and brothers. That's why it's called life groups. And let me tell you, they are so valuable to us, so valuable. And I cannot stress strongly enough the beauty of being involved. I will tell you, Krista and I are in a life group. We love our life group. You've heard me mention this so many times. We love our life group. We love the women and men that are there, the couples that are there. We get together. In fact, last night, Krista and I were musing. We're like, when's our next life group? We're pulling out our calendar, our phone. Oh, it's Thursday. And we were excited. It's one of the highlights for our regular routine is being with these friends. And when we're together, we pray together, we laugh, we play, we encourage each other, we cheer each other on, we sharpen one another. I learn so much from these folks. I hope they learn something from me. I know they learn much from Krista. It is a mutual fulfillment society, if you will. And let me tell you, listen to me here. You need to be involved. You need to plug in. If you're not in one, now's the time. Get involved. It really matters. So, Camellia, there are some passages of Scripture that reveal the heart of God for these more intimate kinds of gatherings, like life groups affords. And so we read from Proverbs 27, verse 17. We see 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We see Acts 2:42. Would you read those verses for us, please?
Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers.
That's so great. So here we have breaking of bread, prayers, fellowship, teaching, sharpening one another, encouraging one another. Life groups, the small groups, all of our groups for sure. But let me tell you, friends, the opportunity afforded in these life groups is especially poignant. Now, up here on our screen, in just a minute, you're going to see a promo for an upcoming Connect event for our life groups. And I want to invite you to be a part of it. January the 23rd, 5 p.m., right here on our main campus in the Family Center. Now, I'm going to be there, and I can't wait to see. If you are not plugged into one, then come to this and find out more about it. I can't wait to see you that night and encourage you with this opportunity. I'm telling you, now is a great time to get engaged in this. And what this opportunity presents here on this Connect night is a chance to step into it safely, try it out, feel it out, see if it works for you. I'm confident that it can. And we want to help you. We want to help you get involved. So put that on your calendar. If you're not already plugged into one, come and let us find out more about it. Now, there is one other thing that I want to give some attention to before we go. And right there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, and Camellia read earlier a couple times. I want to read it again. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, when we read that passage, it's so easy to get stuck on the reference to angels. Wow, angels. And understandably, we're like, whoa, what does that mean? You mean we engage angels out there? Perhaps people that cross our path, they're really angels? And I want to say to you, absolutely. And in fact, I want to tell you, I can testify to a handful of times over the years where I know that's been the situation that I found myself in. I've been engaging somebody, presenting herself or himself as a person, a human being, when I know in my spirit, this is an angel sent from God. And many of you tell stories like that. I've heard some of these stories from you. And others of us, we're like, I've never had that experience in my life, or if I did, I didn't know. And that's okay too. Because here's the thing. The thrust of the passage isn't about the angels. The thrust of the passage is that we are hospitable to other people. That's the invitation right here in verse 2. It's easy to get caught up on the angel part, but please understand the goal of the passage here is that we're hospitable to strangers. Literally, the language says that we give generous love to strangers. And in that word structure in the ancient Greek of generous love, we find the word xenos. The Greek word xenos. Any of you ever heard of the word xenophobia, where you're afraid of another person, you're afraid of a foreigner or of a stranger, of a person that's not like you, xenophobia? Xenos refers to strangers, foreigners, immigrants, a common word that I think hopefully is falling a little bit out of play is the word alien. These are human beings. And what we read here, God clearly says through the writer of Hebrews, look, and speaking of loving people and hospitality and connecting, don't neglect showing hospitality to people who aren't like you. And I want to be really clear on something, and I need you to hear this, church. Contrary to the weaponized language of the public square, this is not woke. This is biblical. It is biblical to love the person that doesn't look like us. It is biblical to care for the stranger, the foreigner, the immigrant, the migrant, whatever tag fits the moment. It is biblical. It's not social gobbledygook or some liberalization. It is the eternal heart of God for his people. And the Church of Jesus Christ, going back millennia, has found as one of its primary tenets hospitality that goes beyond the family of God to anyone and to all. And that ought to be who we are. That is what we're about. It will be what New Hope Church stands for. It is who we are. We are to be a people who do not see someone. We need to see the people around us. After all, community, connection, togetherness matters. Listen to me, friends. Everyone has a spot at the table. We're better together. Amen? All right? This is who God has called us to be. Now, the Apostle Paul puts an exclamation point on this. And Jennifer, would you read from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7? And I want all of you to listen very attentively here to what Jennifer reads.
May the God that gives encouragement and endurance give us a spirit of unity amongst ourselves to follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jennifer. Endurance, encouragement, harmony, togetherness, one voice, welcoming, accepting. This glorifies Jesus. This is us. This is who we are. This is who we will be. Why? Because this is Jesus. This is who he is. We're to welcome as he has welcomed us. We're to love as he has loved us. Friends, that is New Hope Church because that is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jennifer, would you close us in a word of prayer?
I would love to. Thank you. Great God of heaven, we give you thanks and praise for the opportunity to gather together today as the beloved family of God. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is a timeless treasury of truth. We thank you that it encourages our hearts, that it guides us, that it helps us, that it heals us. Father, I just pray that you will continue to unite our hearts as one, that you will knit us together in your love. Father, I pray that you will continue to do a great work here at New Hope Church, filling us with more faith, endless hope, and multiply our love for the glory of your name. I thank you for Jesus. God, I thank you so much for the cross, the empty grave. I thank you for our heavenly hope. Father, I pray that you would be glorified in our hearts and in our homes. God, I pray that you would bless New Hope Church, that your name would be made famous throughout our community, our state, our nation, and our world. May your kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray these things in the merciful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.